You all know Jesus loves me. You know that song? Okay. If I can get us started, can we sing that? Let's sing that first, all right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. He is weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Father, bless these few moments in the Word of God. Speak to hearts. We love you tonight. We're so glad you loved us. And I pray that you'd help us to see that love even a little bit more tonight than we've ever seen it before. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. An evangelist of late told a story of he was preaching in a meeting, and in the invitation, he gave the invitation for people to come to be saved. And a 16-year-old young lady stepped out and came forward. The evangelist's wife went to talk to her at the altar and asked her why she came. She said, "I come to get saved." And the evangelist's wife said, "Well, why do you believe you need to be saved?" And she said this, "Because I know he really, really loves me." Isn't that a wonderful statement? He really, really loves me. I think we use the term, we throw it around a lot, and I'm sure it's sincere when we tell people we love each other. I was not raised that way. I was not raised in a huggy-huggy home, I don't ever remember my dad saying, "I love you." I'm sure my mother did, but I don't remember it. And after I got saved and we were serving the Lord, I'd call my mother and sometimes talk to her. And when I'd say, "Well, I got to go, Mom. Well, I love you. Goodbye." And she'd say, I love you. You know, it was almost like it was an affront to her. You know, like, why are you saying you love me? Of course I love you. Because it wasn't an easy thing for some reason. But as Christians, we throw that around. We say that, and we ought to. Amen. Shouldn't we tell each other we love you in the Lord and we appreciate you and so on? But I don't know if sometimes we don't get a chance, like a testimony service, really. You know what you're really saying tonight? You said, "I really, really love you. Yes. I really love you. Jesus really, really loves me." I don't understand that. Honestly, in my heart, all these years, over 42 years of being saved, I never have gotten over the fact that God loves me. In fact, in prayer, I still have a hard time. My dad used to, when he correct me, he would correct my character as well as my behavior. You know, if I did something wrong, he said, "You dumb kid, you couldn't find anything on your nose." I grew up believing I was just a dumb kid, couldn't find anything hanging on my nose. And so I grew up, and I transferred to my relationship with the Father, and I had always had a hard time believing that God really loved me. I was reading out of John, the 16th chapter. I'll read that to you. And Jesus was telling about prayer, but he says this in 27th verse, "For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." Now, here he said, "The Father loved you." And I was reading that verse, and it gripped my heart. The Father really, really loves me. Yes. You know, I want us to just stop a minute and think about it. Jesus really, really, really loves us. There was a lady one time, I was preaching a meeting up in Zion, Pennsylvania, Zion or Zionsville, years and years ago, probably 78 or 79, somewhere in there. No, maybe, yeah, but it was easier, 70, 77, 78, 79, somewhere in there. And there was a young man preaching before me who was doing a half-hour sermon on the home. And then when he's done, he'd sing a song, have a special, and then I would preach a revival service. Our revival message. And that night, on Tuesday night, Brother Marty was the man's name. He's now the vice president of Northland Bible College, Marty Vaughn. He got called to preach on my ministry, and it was one of my sisters. So it was a great joy to preach with him in that meeting. You know about Marty. And so Marty was praying with somebody at the altar, and this lady named Martha came up and stood, and she was with the pastor, and I was sitting down over there or something, and they're waiting. The lady had some questions she wanted to ask Marty, and so they waited, and he was just being thorough. And so finally, the pastor called me over and said, "This is Martha, and she's having some problems. I wonder if Marty's tied up. Would you? She's agreed to talk to you. Would you mind talking with her?" I said, "Well, I'd be glad to." And so we left a message with him, interrupted, said, Marty, come up to the Sunday school room upstairs. We'll be there, and this lady wants to talk to you. So I went up, and we sat down. She sat at the table across from me, and the preacher was sitting here, and me and the woman. This woman was 27 years old. She'd been married, and her and her husband were stationed on Quatuamino Bay and were serving the Lord and got saved there in the military and were doing real good. And then he got away from God, and he began to do things that Christians shouldn't do, and they had a lot of problems. Next thing you know, he just kicked her out of the house. They got out of service. He kicked her out of the house. He went to New York, got an apartment, and sent her home. She went home to Pennsylvania. She's one of 9 children. She's at home with her father and mother now, living in a home. The homes broke up. So she's telling me all that, and then she said some things, and I'll be honest, I don't know why I said what I said. I don't know. It's just one of those things you say. And I said, well, how long have you been bitter and angry at your father? And boy, she just blinked like that. What do you mean? I'm angry at my father? How can you say that? What's my father got to do with it? Boy, and I said, ooh, man, I really blew it. Then I said, seems as she protests too loudly. And so I tried to talk to her about it. About that time, Marty walked in. And we brought him up to speed. So he sat down, and I sat and looked across the table at her. And he said, Martha, I want to ask you a question. She said, what? She's crying this time. She says, who does God love? And she says, the world. He says, who does God love? Well, people, the world. Who does God? He never changed his voice. He says, who does God love? Well, the sinners, the world, people. And he says, who does God love? She says, you're trying to get me to say God loves me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me. Boy, she just began to weep. She's saved. But in her life, almost God became generic to her. God became some God, supreme God that loved everybody. And she was not, I guess she'd never read Psalms 139 when God said his thoughts are to us more than the sand of the sea. Yes. And so anyhow, he talked to her for a while. And she told her, found out that there was some real problems and everything. And he said, you're going to have to go home and make things right with your father before you can make things right with your husband and so on. You're going to have to get some things. Boy, she got indignant. So she left. And we thought, I know the preacher thought we blew it big time. Well, that was on Tuesday. Well, Thursday, she come back to church. She didn't come Wednesday. I thought, she's done. We blew it somehow. That's too bad, sad. We were all shaking our head. But she came in, and boy, she just lighted up like a, just face all beaming and everything. And we called, what's going on? She said, you just can't believe what happened. I said, tell us. She said, well, I went home, and I was mad. I was mad at you all the way home. I said, I'm not going to talk to my dad. I'm not going to do that. She said, I went in the house, and she says, and my dad was up in the living room, sitting and reading the paper, evening paper, and only light in the house was a light over his chair. She said, I tried to sneak by him and go upstairs, and he called to me. And she says, I went back, and I stood there, and I said, Daddy, I'd like to say something to you. So, well, what is it? And she said, I want you to forgive me. He said, for what? I said, well, because I've been bitter at you most all my life. And he said, what? What do you mean you're bitter at me? What do you mean? I said, well, I didn't think you loved me. He jumped up and he began to cry. She said, he grabbed me. He said, what do you mean I don't love you? Of course I love you. You're my daughter. What do you mean? How could you? She said, we sat up all night and laughed and talked, and she says, and it's so wonderful. I called my husband, told him the next day, and he says, we talked for a long time on the phone. He says, he told me, come home, I'm going to New York, we're going to get our marriage back together. Amen. You know what she did? She lost something. She forgot. She just somehow lost sight of something. He really loves us. Listen to me. He really, really loves you. He really, really loves you. He loves me. He loves me, and he loves you in spite of the fact that we're sinners. Why did he love you? Why would he love me? Would you like to stand up and tell us how great you are and how wonderful and how God had to come and send somebody to die for you after all? Look how wonderful you are. No, we were sinners. We were sinners. We had sinned against God. We are worthy of hell. But guess what? Jesus loved us. Yes. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins that we might have life. He really, really loves us. He really, really loves us. I think he loves me in spite of the fact that he knows my faults. He knows I will sin tomorrow. I don't get up every day and say, what can I sin today? I want to walk with God. Don't you want to walk with God? I want to be right with God. But I got news for you. We're going to blow it every once in a while. Amen? We're not going to do what's right all the time. We're not always going to act like we ought to act. We're not always going to think like we ought to think. We're going to make wrong decisions sometimes. And you know what? In spite of that, he really, really loves me. I don't understand that. I hate myself sometimes when I'm so bad, you know? But he doesn't. He loves me. He loves me. He really, really loves you. Another thing, you know what? He loves me in spite of my future. I don't know what's between me and death, and what's me and the rapture. I hope it's going a long time. I don't know when I'm going to die or where I'm going to die. If I knew when I was going to die and where I'm going to die, I wouldn't go there about that time. Amen. But I know this, that God has a lot of things for my life, and I believe, and God wants to use me, and God wants to bless me, and He loves me, and because of my future, He loves me also in spite of Himself. You know, He set aside glories of heaven. He set aside fellowship with the Father. He set aside fame. He came down here to a lowly manger and ended up going to an old rugged cross and dying for us. And on the cross, He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As Jesus died upon the cross and suffered the separation from His Father. You know why? Because He really, 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 really loves me. I'm glad He loves me. I'm glad He loves me. He loves me. You know, and it's not a failing love. You know, as a pastor, I've met a lot of young couples that come in and want to get married. I said, "Well, why do you want to get married?" He said, "Well, we love each other." Huh? They love each other. Well, he's looking at her, man. He loves her so much, looks like he could eat her up. 5 years later, he wished he had him, you know. But he loves her. He loves her. Man, they love each other. And 5 years later, she's questioning, why did she ever marry this jerk? And she says, how could I love that guy? We see, well, many times human love fails. It falters. It flounders. But God's love never fails. He doesn't get up every morning and decide to love us. See, love's a mental decision. But Jesus loves us. He never thinks about it. He loves us. He loves us with, and it's a love that's unsought. It's a love that's undeserved. It's a love that's perfect. It's a love that's eternal. It's a love that's personal. It's a love that's all sufficient. It's a love that's universal. It's incomprehensible, and it's unwavering. He really, 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 really loves me. It's not a fickle love. I don't have to worry, you know. Whether He's going to love me tomorrow or the next day, He loves me in a consistent way. He loves me no matter what. I'm glad He loves me. I got something else to share with you. Take your Bible and go to 1 Chronicles 28. Now I want you to look at verse number 8, or number 4 rather. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 4. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 4. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For He hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, and the house of my father, and among the sons of my father. Watch this. He liked me to make me king over Israel. I got news for you. God not only loves me, but He likes me. I've met a lot of people I love, but I don't know if I like them too much. Amen. Have you ever met that person? Oh, you love him in the Lord. Oh, man, here he comes. God never says that. He loves me, and He loves you, and He likes you. And I was a kid growing up. I was the littlest guy in school. I was. When I was seven years old, the welfare department bought me my first pair of glasses, cheap wire rims. I mean, you know, my dad every day had to straighten them all up and everything. They called me Freddy Frog Eyes. Well, you all feel sorry for me. I was the littlest guy in my senior class. I mean, all the way through, I was the littlest guy in the class until the last semester of senior year, and I finally beat Bubby, what's his name? But Neely. I can't think of his name, first name. Anyhow, huh? Dubby Neely. I met a Dubby. Dubby Neely. I beat him by a quarter inch, glory to God. Huh? When I got married, I was 22 years old. I weighed 106 pounds. I was so skinny, I had to tease the hair on my legs to keep my socks up. I didn't have any friends. That's the truth, man. I didn't have any friends. I didn't anybody say, "Boy, I like old Fred." Huh? But I know one thing. Bless God. You know, I'm glad my wife loves me, and she kind of likes me too, I think. Last time I checked with her, she still laughs at my jokes. Huh? But you know what? I want to tell you something. God not only loves you, but he likes you. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what it is. You like to be liked. But sometimes I think God's people get the idea somehow because we ain't, well, I hate to say we ain't, because college president's not supposed to say saint, we ain't, you know, they're not supposed to say ain't, but we ain't much. Huh? And we flounder and fail more than we do best, all right? And sometimes we get the idea God's up there and he doesn't like it too much and he don't like us too much. I got news for you. That's not true. Sometimes I counsel somebody having problems. I said, I want you to pretend and look up into heaven and think God's, and see if you can think about God's face looking at you right now, and he's looking down at you. What's the look on his face at all? Oh. Oh, man. He don't want to think about it. I got news for you. He loves us. We're accepting the beloved. And I'm not saying he condones our sin, he condones our failure. But I'm telling you tonight, Jesus loves you, and he likes you. He likes being with me. Huh? I can't even imagine somebody thinking about me more thoughts than the sand of the sea.
Amen.
Whew. Think of that. Good night. So he likes me. I think he likes to be. You know what? I can't sing. You just heard a little bit of it. Ooh, man. When I sing, angels weep. And the flag in heaven flies at half mast. Okay? But it is really, you ought to hear it in here. I'm telling you, it is good. There's something wrong with my throat. Something in here. I don't know what it is. But it butts up against that and it messes it all up. Huh? I can't sing like Ron. I hear Ron sing, good night. How does he sing like that? But I tell you what, Jesus likes it. I'll drive down the road, get to singing. He'll say, sing it again. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Sing it again. Man, I get to sing in one chorus after and one chorus after. Guess what he's saying? I like it. You know why? Because he really, really, really loves me. He likes me. I know he likes me because he made me. Psalms 139 talks about how he made me in my mother's womb. You do a study, and there's a word in there that talks about, in that substance there, it talks about, it has the idea of a ladder. You ever hear DNA ladder? Check that out. Huh? So Jesus loved me. He made me. When I talk about being a short fellow, God made me like that.
Absolutely.
Huh? The trouble is, we're not satisfied with what God made. I wasn't. But God made me. Les Olala. He was the youth director of Calvary Baptist Church in Roseville, Michigan, where Pastor Bob Rhodes was the pastor. You knew Les Olala. He's now the retired president of Northland. But Les Olala told a story as a youth director. One of the prettiest girls in his youth, in his young people's department in the church run about 700, 800, came in to say, most popular, most beautiful, pretty, just attractive, outgoing, lovely young Christian girl. Come in, sat down. And she started crying. In fact, she started sobbing uncontrollably. Les said, oh my, what happened? This was this girl assaulted? Did her mother find out her mother has cancer? What's wrong? And she just sobbed and finally got her control. Said, why are you so upset? She said, it's me. Well, she said, well, what's wrong? What do you mean me? She says, why? Why did I have to be so ugly? And she's dead serious. Huh? I got news for you. You're just exactly what God wanted. You're made just like, we have a graduate of our Bible college, Johnny Hudson. He has one leg, and it's not very short. Has a little teeny stub here, no arms, born without them, in a wheelchair. He graduated all 4 years in 3 years. And 2 years after he got out of college, he went and got his doctorate degree, earned it. Smart, doesn't have any arms. He can do almost anything with that foot. He writes with it, types with it, eats with it. I mean, he does everything with it. Brilliant young man. Brilliant. You talk to him, you don't find him complaining and griping about not having any arms. You don't find him griping and complaining how he spent his life in a wheelchair. Huh? No, God made us. Praise God. He likes me. He likes me. He made me. I like this also. He made me like I am. I'm just like he. He made me to be a preacher. Now, I didn't know that. I don't know. I believe I was called before my mother's womb. I believe that. See? Now, I know this, that when I got saved, I didn't have any idea what I was going to do with my life. But God called me to preach.
Yes.
See? And God liked me, so he made me like I am. I have the personality, I had the parents, I had the background, I had everything God gave to me to make me just like I am. Now, that doesn't mean if I'm stubborn and immoral or wicked or all that. He didn't make me do that. I'm saying that. But I wish I could be smart like your pastor. I wish I had a big IQ, you know.
Yeah,
sure. I got a guy in my church, Dr. Fusco. I'm telling you, smartest man I ever met. I think he has a photographic mind. I really do. I do too, but it's out of film. That guy's the smartest guy I know. I say, oh God, why couldn't I be smart like him? No, I'm as smart as God wanted me to be.
Yeah.
I'm as tall as God wanted me. No, I'm not as, it could be a little, you know. Not, no, pray for my, I was on a diet, but there wasn't enough food, so I'm on two diets. The real truth is, guess what? God likes you just like you are. He made you. He loves you. He likes you. He really likes you. You know that? He made me also to have a tomorrow. He made me to have a tomorrow. Why? Because he wants to spend the rest of eternity. Well, you can't spend eternity. That's a bad way of saying it. You can spend your money, but you can't spend eternity.
That's true.
He wants me to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He wants to be with me all the time forever. Why? Because he likes me. He likes you too. He likes you. He made you. He made you as you are. He made you like you are. He made you tomorrow. And none of that. But guess what? He made me to walk with him. You ever have a truth grab your heart and change your life? About a year ago, this truth. Now, I hear it all the time. And I've heard preachers talk about walking with God. So as a Christian, God, I don't want to walk with you. But a preacher was preaching in our church and chapel one day, and he says, you know, I want to walk with God, but what I'd like to know is that God's walking with me. Well, I kind of like that. That's a little bit different concept. See, if you're getting up, get up for a minute, preacher, he's going that way, and can I walk with you, preacher? And he takes me. But what if he says to me, hey, where are you going, preacher? And I say, well, I'm going over here. Can I walk with you? Well, that's a little bit different then. See, what I would say, God, can I walk with you? People, God says, Fred, can I walk with you? Man, can you imagine that? He wants to be with me.
Yes,
he wants me to walk with him. He wants to walk with me. He wants to have fellowship with me. He wants to know me. He wants me to know him. He wants me to know he likes me as well as loves me.
Yes.
Man, I like that. He likes me, and he made me to be used of him. Now I won't be used of God. I've been a Christian for 42 years, been pastoring over 38 years. And it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I was preaching a sermon on redeem the time. So I got thinking, how long have I been on this earth? So I took a calculator and I added up the number of days I was here on this earth since I was born to that time. It was over 23,000 days. I said, wow, what did I do with all those days? Slept too much, ate too much, but wow. Then I thought, oh, if I live to 70, how many days I got left? I calculated it was a little over 4,700. That's an eye-opener.
Yes.
Man, I'm older than dirt. So I thought, man, what am I going to do? So I said, God, oh God, please, I want every moment and every day of my life to be used of thee. I give you my life. I surrender to you. I want you to use me. I don't want to ever be shelved. I don't want to just be a nominal Christian. I want to be used of you. You know what he said? Well, I like that because I like you. I made you like that. I made you so I could use you. For by grace are you saved through faith, the Bible says. Doesn't it say that? Not of works of the image of boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has foreordained that we should walk in them. So he made me to be used. He didn't make you to be a good father. That's a given. He didn't make you to raise your family, pay your bills. You could be a paraplegic tomorrow. He made you be used of God. Whatever it is in life, no matter what it is, whether it's raising your family and paying your bills. But it's all your whole life, he made us to use us for his glory and for his honor. I like that. Let me give you this, I'll be almost done. He likes me because he takes care of me. I wish I could tell you some of the wonderful things God has done for me. I'll tell you one. What time are we supposed to be done, preacher? It's only 5 minutes to 8. Turkey's gone. You got pies in the oven? Go get them, okay? No. I'll tell you what, this is a true story, okay? 1968. In the spring of 1968, I quit my job at Ford Motor Company to go full-time in my church, the Open Bible Baptist Church, where Ronnie was a member and his dad was a staff member. And he came in 69. His dad came to me in 69. We'd had a rented building. We had purchased that building at that time. And the church had run about 55 or 60 people. So I stepped down and lived by faith because I didn't have a church, wasn't paying me. And I was working at Ford's. And Ford's at that time, I was bringing home $135 a week. And that, in 1968, that was big money. Whatever they're making in factories now is about equivalent, okay? And so all of a sudden, no income. But I'll tell you something. God just did wonderful things. I'd come out and there'd be a bag of groceries in the car. People shake hands, leave a $10 bill in my hand. We had some folks over, and the next day I got in a sugar jar to put some sugar in my coffee, and there's a $20 bill in my sugar. Chuck Brady came over, brought a roast wrapped in those white papers, you know, that had a meat plan. And so we took it and put it in the freezer as a roast. And the next day my wife took it out and opened it up, and there was a $5 bill, cold cash, inside there. But God just took care of me for 8 weeks. We lived from God's hand to our mouth, and God paid all our bills and took care of us. It was just unreal how God did that. Well, in September, I should say it went for 8 weeks, and then my people got together and they decided to give me a salary. So now they're going to give me $60 a week. Well, that was a lot of money for them. But when they did that, there was no more bags of groceries. There's no more $5 bills in my hand, and so on. Preachers grow on a salary. Well, now the church is going to learn something, as well as Pastor Schindler. I'm just a young preacher. So I had to end up going out and working and digging some ditches and working with a contractor or anything to subsidize my income. Come September, I started Bible college. I was still going to Bible college. I crammed my 4 years into 8. Driving 100 miles a day, round trip, 3 days a week, and did that for 8 years. So I went and told Dr. Malone, don't have any money, but I promise you, if you'll let me start, I'll pay that. I'll pay half. I always had to pay half that tuition at midterms, or you couldn't take your midterms. I promise you, I won't leave you stuck. I'd already been there all those years, you know, since 1963. I've been there 5 years. She said, well, just come on. So I did. Well, at this time, we're running out of food. I mean, running out of food. One morning, I got up to go to church on Sunday morning. This is the truth. My wife, there's 5 eggs. Jesse's here, so you know this. 5 eggs. 5 eggs, all we had in our house. There wasn't any peanut butter popcorn. When you're out of peanut butter popcorn, you are nigh to death. No hot dogs. No. We used to make those little Pillsbury. My wife takes those little Pillsbury tubes, you know, we bust them. You know, a little fat guy jumps out, you know. I hate him. Somebody needed him to death, he died, you know. But then my wife would take those biscuits, she'd cut the center out, make a donut out of it, and then she'd deep fry the donut holes in those little donuts and make donuts out of them and put them in a bag of powdered sugar. And we ate them for breakfast for about 3 weeks. And then we ate pancakes. But my wife's a magician. We had red pancakes and green pancakes and blue pancakes. And had a lot of tube steak. That's hot dogs, okay? But come one Sunday morning, nothing. There was nothing there but 5 eggs. No bread, no milk, no nothing. No cereal, no crackers, no nothing. Man, you talking about somebody been praying. No, I'd been praying, man, praying. Oh, God, God, you know. So we went to church. Well, Holly was 8 years old. 19, 9, 7, 6. Huh? 6 eggs. Thank you. 6. Okay. 6 eggs. I had a senior moment. She's always, no. Oh, no, it's not true. So anyhow, Holly asked one of the girls in the church to come home with her, which is a no, you don't do that until you say, Daddy, can we ask so-and-so? So there's Holly and the girl standing there. So I said, no, you can't, you know. So they came home. We sat around that table. And so now there's seven of us, six of us, yeah, that's right. And everybody got an egg. That's all. One lonely leg egg sitting on that plate. And the little girl, Melanie, says, is that all we having? That's all we're having. So we went to church that night, and I preached. On the way home, we took a little girl home from our church, and I walked in the mobile home. We lived in a mobile home, kicked off my coat, walked in, and I walked to the back of the bedroom, and I got on my knees. And I began to weep, and I said, God, you told me quit my job, and you take care of my business if I take care of your business. Now, please, college student, don't pray this. This is not a model prayer, all right? But I'm desperate. I said, God, you told me the righteous have to bake bread. You said you'd take care of me, and you haven't done it. You haven't answered prayer. My family's going to bed. I'm praying to God like that. I said, my family's going to bed hungry, and I don't understand that. So I But I'm telling you, God loves me, and he likes me. So I went and sat down in a chair next to the phone. That's faith, isn't it? Now, here's what happened. I told God, I said, God, I have $10 in my wallet. I got to go and cover my cover check the next morning. And I'm going to take that out tonight. If you don't answer by 11 o'clock, I'm going to take that $10 and go buy my family some food, and then tomorrow I got to go borrow $10 to cover that check. And you said the righteous don't have baked bread. See, so I'm sitting there, and I'm studying biology. One of my classes is biology, and I'm drawing an eyeball. I'm drawing this eyeball at the most crucial time. I'm about to get out of the ministry, and I'm drawing an eyeball. And I kept looking at the phone, you know. And then I got down, and I was yours. You're talking about handwriting. Oh, it looks like somebody's spastic, you know. And I'm trying to draw detail, and I got engrossed in that. And all of a sudden, what time is? And I looked at my watch, and it was 1 minute after 11. Everything inside me just died. But the phone rang. I picked up the phone, and this voice says, one of my members said, "Preacher, you need any money?" I would say, "Where have you been?" I said, well, what do you mean? So, well, we don't have much, but he said, we have $10. You understand my take-home pay was $135, and that's big money, so $10 is a lot of money. He said, we got $10 over you. Come over and get it tomorrow morning, would you? I said, well, thank you very much. What happened? They come home from church, and she laid down the couch, fell asleep. He sat in the chair and read the paper. At 11 o'clock, she sat bolt right up on the couch and said, honey, call the preacher. Just see if he needs some money. God answered at 11 o'clock. Just took him a minute to get the phone. Yeah. Slow poke, good night, man. Do you know what happened to me? So I went out and got some stuff, you know, $3 or $4 worth of stuff, fed our kids. Next day, picked up that money. Now, we still got about, I don't know, $5 or $6. So we picked up the kids from school, and we went to the store. So we're going through there. Now, what do you get with $6 or $7? You know, we get some pancakes, the little fat doughboy, you know, some tube steak. And on the way through, Holly sees the sauerkraut. She's, Daddy, get some sauerkraut. I said, turn your wanter off. So we go around and another aisle and Scott sees the chocolate pudding. He said, Daddy, get some chocolate pudding. I said, turn your water off. And on the way out, Jessie's 4 years old. She sees the gum. She said, Daddy, get some gum. I said, no, turn your water off. So we went home. My wife picks pancakes. About 8:30 at night, come a knock on our mobile home door. And I walked over to her, and there's a lady in our church standing with two big bags of groceries. She comes in and sets them down, and we thanked her for it. Man alive, she left, and my wife started pulling roast out of there, and, you know, and cereal and everything. And man, we're just rejoicing. And guess what's in that? two cans of sauerkraut. Not one, two. Two boxes of chocolate pudding. And on the bottom of the bag for Jessica was two packs of gum. See, he really loves me. I mean, he really, really loves me. He not only loves me, he likes me. He takes care of me. He takes care of me. He'll take care of you too, and he has, by the way. You think of all the things you didn't pray for, he gave you. Not only that. You know, he likes me. He likes me enough to save my loved ones. My wife got saved. Our children got saved. The last count on my wife's side, I think, was 26 members saved. We were the first generation saved. And the other side of the family, another 20-some family members got saved. And God's given us a Christian home, a Christian family. See, God's so good. Listen to me. Don't you let the devil put any doubt in your heart. I don't care what it is. Jesus really, really, really loves you. He not only loves you, but he likes you. Let's stand on our feet and bow our heads. Father in heaven, I'm so glad you love me. I'm so glad. I don't know why you love me. I don't know. There's no reason in my heart. I can't find any reason. But you do. And I'm so glad you do. Lord, I could tell a lot of stories about how good you've been to me and how you've cared for me. And man, I could just tell these folks miracle stories of your grace and love and kindness and goodness and mercy and all the ways down through these years how you've blessed. Thank you for loving us. Now, I know, Father, there's maybe somebody here tonight not saved. Lord, I pray, God, they'd come. What sad words, Lord. Think of it. Lord, the two saddest words in all the English language. Not saved. Not saved. Help them to come tonight. Get saved. There are some Christians here. Maybe we just need to come and just thank the Lord how good you are and how wonderful you are. Bless, I pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, the preacher will come and give the invitation.